We are making an attempt to help to set our kids' faith in the right direction. God's word is absolutely true, absolutely trustworthy. There is no fallacy in it, and it happened exactly the way God's word said it happened. And again, we understand if I'm the enemy, I'm going after this, because if I can discredit the very beginning, if I can discredit the way God said things happened in the beginning, then I can discredit the whole book. But over and over again, for those that actually take the time to actually do real research and real science, when they take the time to do that, all it does is confirm the Word of God. We started this last time, and it's based on the fact that Jesus told his disciples to hear God's voice. Now, this is entitled, When God Speaks to Us. So when God speaks to us, we have to learn how to recognize it. I've had people ask me over and over again over the years, how do you know when God is speaking to you? How do I know? Well, there's several ways that we can know that we test it. And the scripture tells us to test it. Now, first off, in John chapter 10, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but in John chapter 10, verse 4, it says, when he has brought all his own out, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So I believe, especially in this day and age, it's vitally important that we know when God's speaking and how he speaks. And so not all thoughts that we have are God's thoughts, right? Isaiah chapter 55 tells us that my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So understand what he's talking about here is natural thinking, natural analyzing, natural thoughts, things that our brain comes up with. They are not on the same level of God's thoughts. Okay. And so we have the mind of Christ available to us. The problem is not many people choose to use that one. They don't choose to use the mind of Christ. They choose to use their own mind and analyze everything according to natural things that are happening, so on and so forth. So those thoughts that we have sometimes, the voices we hear, sometimes could just be our own thoughts from our own fleshly desires. How many of you know fleshly desires speak loud? They speak loud. And sometimes those thoughts are just really demonic. You know, the enemy's only weapon that he has that he can use against us is lies. In order for him to do anything to us, he speaks a lie. We believe the lie. And as we put our faith in the lie, and when we do, that gives the enemy an open opportunity to wreak havoc on our lives. He is the father of lies. He's very good at it. And so when we believe him, we empower him to bring destruction to us. So sometimes, how many of you know, sometimes we like to talk to ourselves? You know why? Some people like to talk to themselves more than they like to talk to God, because when they talk to themselves, they make perfect sense to themselves. They talk to God. Sometimes God says stuff that don't make sense to me, right? So like I said, you know, I heard one man say, I love talking to myself because I really enjoy intelligent conversation. So, but listen, we can confuse our own desires with God's will. And so we have to be very, very careful. That's why it's so important, I think, especially in these last days, that we understand and recognize the voice of God. You know, right now, look, we don't know what this is going to turn into over there in Israel, but I can tell you it's a serious matter. This could turn to World War III in a heartbeat. Okay. And so we better stop playing games. We better set our hearts to hear God's voice, because we don't know what's going to happen from day to day. And don't think that just because you're an American, you're immune to it all. Understand that God raises up nations and God takes nations down. And we live in a nation that has chosen to dishonor God in every way, shape, or form possible. So we talked about, just a quick review, testing what you hear. That when you believe you hear something from God, you believe God's telling you something, it must be tested. We are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, we're told not to despise prophecy. So there are times when God speaks, sometimes prophetically. Sometimes it's through another person that God has a message for you, and And but when somebody comes to you with a prophetic message, understand that the Bible says it must be tested, right? And so I tell people here, if somebody's giving you a prophetic message, man, don't even hesitate to come and share that with me or Pastor Cindy, because that word needs to be judged. And if you believe the Lord's giving you a message from God, something the Lord wants you to say to a specific person, always encourage them to, hey, look, take this, go talk to the pastors, get confirmation on it, because confirmation is needed, all right? And that's important. That keeps people from doing stupid stuff, because I've seen people say things that supposedly were prophetic words, and it was anything but prophetic. Pathetic, maybe, but not prophetic, okay? And I've seen people run on something like that and go make decisions that really messed their lives up, because God never really said that to them. So prophetic words always must be verified and tested, okay? So then we talked about this fact that when God speaks to us, it will always honor Christ, always. God will never say anything to us that doesn't honor Christ. It will always honor Christ. Now, I don't have time to go through that whole thing. We dealt with that particular point last week, so I don't have time to delve into it a lot. But God's voice will always honor Christ, first and foremost. If there is a, for instance, we knew some people, they had a former pastor. And this former pastor, for whatever reason, you know, went off kind of the deep end and went into straight up Judaism, where they denounced that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is Lord, so on and so forth, but was still wanting to go to these people and sit and do Bible studies with them in their home. And I said, do you know that the Word of God instructs that if they deny Christ, don't even let them in your house? What's that talking about? That's not meaning being rude or being mean to them. It's talking about don't have that kind of fellowship with them. Now, it's one thing if you know the Word of God enough to where you can try to help them, but you have to be careful. The Bible says, take heed lest you fall when you're trying to help a brother who has stumbled. You have to be careful. So anyway, if they don't honor Christ, if they deny Christ, first off, there's no way they can possibly be speaking by the Spirit of God. All right, so second, and this is where we're starting fresh today. When God speaks to us, it will always be consistent with His Word. Always. The problem is, to be honest with you, most people, even church people, don't know God's Word enough to know whether or not it's consistent with His Word. Most people, the only word they ever get is what they hear a preacher say from behind a pulpit on a Sunday or maybe a Wednesday or off the radio or television. But most people never take the time to actually read through and get to know God's Word for themselves. I had some atheists trying to argue with me a while back and try to discredit the Bible. And I asked them the question, have you actually read the Bible? Have you actually read it through? Oh, yeah, I know that Bible. I know. Okay, you know the Bible. You're telling me you read that Bible and you read it all the way through and you know what that Bible says. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's full of fallacy and it's full of this and that. I said, no, you are repeating something you heard somebody say because you think it makes you sound smart. But do yourself a favor and actually read the Word of God and let it transform your life. And so when God speaks to us, it'll always be consistent with His Word. Let me give you an example. Years ago, you know, when there was the big thing with the abortion clinics and, you know, people were protesting abortion clinics. Nothing wrong with that. I admire people that literally had the guts to get arrested to try to save babies' lives. I admire that. But then there were other yahoos out there who were bombing abortion clinics saying God told them to do it. Well, how many of you know God didn't tell them to go bomb an abortion clinic? Raise your hand if you believe that, yeah, God did not tell them. Agree with me, please. God never told anybody to go bomb an abortion clinic. Okay. But people were trying to say, well, God told them to do that. Well, no, He didn't. And so if we're not in tune with what God is really saying, and if it's not in true agreement with His Word, man, we can really get off and do some stupid things. So Luke chapter 21, verse 33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In other words, what God's Word is, what God has said, will live on forever and ever. It'll never pass away. God will never tell you, by the way, to violate anything in that book. Never, not even one time. If it doesn't agree with God's Word, then it didn't come from God at all. And again, we can take scriptures, we can pull them out of their context. You know, we had a college professor, I've shared this before, but he used to just get on my nerves. I couldn't stand that guy when I first got to college because, you know, here I am, a freshman in Bible college. This guy is a seasoned minister with, I don't know, all kind of degrees and whatever. And I think he doesn't know what he's talking about, right? And he would just get on my nerves because he would stand up and he'd get his Bible and he'd open it like a mouth opening and closing and saying, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. And what he would do, then he would begin to challenge our pet doctrines, challenge the things that he knew we believed because we heard somebody say it, but not because we knew it was really in the Word, right? He used to get on our nerves. But you know what? He ended up being my absolute favorite teacher when it was all said and done, because he challenged us that if we're going to believe something, we better know why we believe it. And so if it doesn't agree with God's Word, then it didn't come from God at all. And by the way, if it's condemnation that leads to hopelessness instead of conviction that leads to hope and faith, if it's building up your flesh instead of building up your spirit, if it leads you into remorse or rebellion instead of into repentance, then it's not from God and you don't want it. So don't take a bite from that fruit. That fruit comes from the wrong tree. God does not change. Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And by the way, and this is so important. I taught on this on a Wednesday night several weeks back about properly interpreting the Word of God. We have in churches like ours, you know, unfortunately, there are people who will jump on certain scriptures, certain things, and that's what they'll hang on to. And that's what they'll, if they're going to quote anything, they're going to quote those certain, their favorite scriptures here and there. But many times take those scriptures out of the context that God put them in. Well, people don't read any other book like that. You read any other book and you're going to read it in its context. What was it trying to say when the author wrote it? And that's how you read a book. That's how you know what the book is telling you. But people will take the Bible and chop it up and take little bits and pieces out here and there to make the Bible say what they want it to say. So it's very important that we rightly divide the Word of God, that we rightly interpret the Word of God, and we can't pull something out of its context to make it say something we want it to say. So His counsel will never contradict itself. God's Spirit will speak to us in a way that will apply the counsel of His Word, His whole Word, to our personal and specific situations. And so being consistent with His Word does not simply mean applying a quotation from that scripture. Because listen, remember when Jesus was tempted? And this is very important to understand. When He was tempted in the wilderness, how did the devil tempt Him? Anybody know? Do you know that the devil literally quoted scripture to Jesus to try to get Jesus to jump off the temple? He goes, hey, doesn't the Bible say, you know, the angels won't let you dash your foot against a stone? Jump off the temple, you'll be fine. And Jesus turned around and said, the Word of God says, don't tempt the Lord your God. Right? So again, the devil knows how to twist scripture, pull things out of their context. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that jump on that same bandwagon. I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens out of this one this morning. I get it. But listen, it's a serious thing. The enemy loves for you to do things and even justify yourself with scripture while he's leading you into deception. So the devil quoted scripture. So Jesus knew the counsel of the Father, thank God, and He refused to give in to the enemy's deception. So we also can discern as we learn God's Word that, you know, when I hear God's voice in prayer or through a prophetic word, if I know God's Word, I can discern whether or not that is from God. Now, let me give you a scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 13 through 17, it says, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. You know, something about that, you know, many people, they always like, I got to get something new. I've seen so many preachers out there. They got to find some kind of new thing. I got to get a new angle. Got to have something nobody else has ever preached so I can write my next book and get a lot of people, right? And there's that kind of stuff. And some of that stuff is so far out on the fringe. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Tell somebody, you can't go wrong with the Word of God. Just stick to the Word. You don't have to come up with something new. So Verse 15 says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." See, God wants us to become complete, equipped. Matured is another word we can say. For every good work. So we don't have to try to find some new thing here. We just, what were you taught? What does God's word say? And it, you know, it's the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So you don't have to go, the Bible warns us about chasing every wind of doctrine, you know, these, as the winds blow through. And I've seen it over and over again through the church over the years. Various winds of doctrines. Boy, it comes by and people just begin to run this way after that and this way after that. And that's why we got so many different denominations. People with their winds of doctrine. All right. So by the way, whatever is plainly stated in the scriptures, you don't even have to pray about it. There are some things that are plainly stated. For instance, I don't pray about whether or not to tithe. I do it because it's clear in Scripture. I don't pray about going to church. I do it because it's clear in Scripture. I just get up and go. I don't pray about whether or not I should tell people about Jesus. I know I should do that because it's clear in Scripture. I don't pray about whether or not I should pray for people to be healed. I know that it's clear in Scripture. So we don't have to pray about it and fast about whether or not to do those things. We do it because it's very clear. It's right in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to have to close it off, but let me just kind of give you a little bit of prep for next week. So we said that God's word is always going to honor Christ, right? When God speaks. We said that when God speaks, it will always be consistent with his word, and that we need to know the word so we know whether or not we're hearing truth. And then also, when God speaks, it'll many times conflict with human wisdom and human will. Let me just say a few things about this one. Understand, that doesn't mean that everything that God says is going to be in conflict with common sense, but I will tell you that in my experience, most of when God is speaking, it's going to be in conflict with your own rational thinking and common sense. God loves for us to experience the supernatural. And if I stay on a natural plane, always doing what makes sense to me, what I can rationalize, what I can, you know, think of and make happen, I will never experience the supernatural. Do you think it makes sense? So God gives me a word of knowledge. You know, the spiritual guy, he gives a spiritual gift in operations. He gives a word of knowledge and God says, you know, there's somebody here that has a particular thing. Like the one time God said, call out, tell somebody, somebody here's got a pain in the butt. And I said, I am not saying that. I could hear it. I was like, I'm not saying that. That makes no sense. Well, that should have been my first clue. It probably was him. I'm like, a pain in the butt, Lord? I mean, I've had some words of knowledge that were very specific about certain body parts and so on and so forth, but a pain in the butt. And so I said, well, this is what the Lord says. Somebody in here's got a pain in the butt, and he's not talking about your husband. Is that anybody? God wants to heal you today. We had four people in the room. Four. Came up here, got prayed for. God healed their pain in the butt. There are times when God's going to say stuff. It's going to challenge you. It ain't going to make sense, right? So again, Pastor Mike Mele, I love the way he says this. He said it years ago, and this just really stuck with me. He said, God wants to do things in your life that take you to places in your walk with him that'll make your brain mad for 6 months because it didn't think of it. That's the truth. And so more than any other point, I believe this stands out in my experience of hearing God. It's rarely what we would expect. There's always something deeper and more intense that God wants to impart than what I was looking for. Because I'm limited in my own finite thinking. And if I think I got to figure it all out in order to obey, I will never experience the supernatural and miraculous. So in following God, sometimes you don't necessarily look for the path, but instead you look for God. You look for God, and that'll many times lead you where there is no path. And that's the crazy thing, right? God will sometimes lead you where you can't see a path. And then he helps us to leave a trail for others, all right? Now, we'll take up from here next time, but let me give you the point itself so you can chew on a little bit. When God speaks to us, it'll always challenge your faith. Always challenge your faith. God never wants you to operate within the confines of your own natural thinking. God wants you to operate by faith. So we have to give God room to work. I'm going to share this illustration and we'll quit. World Vision was founded by a man named Bob Pierce. Bob Pierce had a great impact on a man named Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, who has a ministry called Samaritan's Purse. Anybody heard of it? They came into our area after the storms, after the hurricanes and all, and they did a lot of good, helped a lot of people. They do relief work all over the world. It's a huge, huge ministry. World Vision was also that same type of ministry. But Bob Pierce of World Vision had a great impact on Franklin Graham. And he told him, as Franklin was asking him about how does he do what he does, and he said, well, the secret is I always have God room. He said, what is God room? He said, that means that I'm in my vision and in the things that I believe that God wants me to do, He will allow me to take it as far as I possibly can. And I have to be willing to do everything that I can in my own strength. I have to do the difficult thing. But God never wants my vision to end right there. He wants it to be bigger than that, to where there is God room, where only God can move. And if it's going to happen, it's going to be because God had to step in and make it happen, because I couldn't do it on my own. It's called God room. I want to encourage you today. Understand that when God speaks to you, when He gives you vision, it's always going to challenge your faith, because God never intended for us to just be mere men living by natural means and natural understanding, but He called us to operate with God room, letting God do that which we cannot do. We do the difficult, but then He does the impossible. It'll challenge your faith and take you places that you couldn't possibly perceive going beforehand. Well, why don't you stand to your feet this morning, because I need to get you out. I just want to pray this morning that, first off, what God's speaking to us shouldn't be something spooky or scary or weird or anything like that. I've learned in my own life many times, and we'll talk about this later because it's going to take me several weeks to go through this, but many times when God is speaking to me, He's using my conscience to do it. So what does God sound like? Well, it sounds like your conscience. The problem is that without God in our life, our conscience is there, but it's broken. It doesn't work right. This is why somebody can literally do something really stupid, like go kill people at an abortion clinic or whatever, and believe that somehow it's the right thing to do. Their conscience doesn't work right. This is how the Nazis in Hitler's Germany could somehow justify killing millions of Jewish people, because in their own heart, their own mind, and their own conscience, because God was nowhere near it, they thought it was the right thing to do. This is why doctors in an abortion clinic can butcher a little baby in the womb and feel like somehow they're doing the right thing. Their conscience is broke. They don't have the ability to hear from God. So, you know, people will make horrible choices and their conscience will not work correctly without the Lord. So this morning, first off, I'm just going to pray first that for all of us, that this will not work if you don't want it, but for all of us, that God would just come in and restore our conscience again, that God would come in and just take His rightful place in our life and restore that conscience to make it work the way He needs it to work, so that we can live a life that has purpose and meaning and makes an eternal impact. So why don't you do this? Just lift your hands with me if you're comfortable to do that. Just lift your hands with me, and we're going to pray that first off. Father, I just pray, Lord, come in, have Your way in us. Come in and restore Your rightful place in my life. Father, come in and restore my conscience, Lord, so that I can feel and know and hear from You, God, and communicate with You. Father, I pray, restore that which the enemy has tried to destroy. Lord God, I want to hear Your voice clearly. Lord, I want to know when You're speaking to me. Father, I don't want to fall into deception of any kind based on my own thoughts and desires or feelings or any of that. Father, I pray, Lord, help us to hear Your voice clearly. Lord, restore to us the ability to hear from You. Father, I pray, put within Your people such a hunger for Your word, Father, that we would no longer just be picking and choosing the things that we like. But Father, I pray there would just be such a hunger to devour that word, Lord. Lord, so that it can train us and teach us and correct us and rebuke us. It can build us up and tear down things that don't belong in our lives. Father, I pray, cause your word to work effectively in us. Lord, help us to discern when it's our own thoughts, when it's the enemy's thoughts, or when it's your thoughts. Father, I know in this day and age, it's vital that we hear from you, that we can receive direction from you. And Father, I thank you that you're more than willing to establish that and do that in us. So Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for not just putting us out here on our own, but thank you, Father, for giving us a way to communicate with you and to hear from you. Make it ever so clear, Father. And Lord, I pray that any of the word, anything that was spoken from your word, led by your spirit, would go deep down into our hearts, that it would take root, and that it would ultimately bear fruit. Help us to live this out in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in agreement, won't you shout amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now listen, before we leave, won't you turn and tell somebody, okay, now go work this word out now. Go walk it out, work it out this week.